Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Here, eat these Oreos.
Right.
Eat these cheesecake. Just eat all this good chicken and fish. And so I eat it. I do as I'm told.
Right. It's only because they're telling you to do it. It's not, you don't want to do it.
No.
They're just telling you to do it.
I don't like Oreos. I don't like fish and chicken and beef. None of that stuff. And strawberry cake and... that good stuff.
Well, hopefully at some point you'll get back to normal. You snap right back into shape. You tend to do that.
I hope so.
You tend to do that. Yesterday was a rough day for a couple of reasons. You know, you had the Roy Holiday news. We'll spend more time on that coming up in 40 minutes. We're going to open up the show with college football, but I did want to mention at the top, so it didn't seem like we were ignoring it at all. But I mean, that was just, I mean, is you know, totally out of nowhere and totally. Saddening for everybody, because he's one of those guys that nobody had a bad word to say about Roy Halladay.
One great pitcher. When he was on the hill, you knew your team was losing. As a Yankees fan, you knew it was going to be a long day or a long night whenever he took the ball. And so, yeah, I immediately thought of you because your father is an avid pilot. And so I knew you would have a ton to say about this, like everyone, but because – you know, flying is a part of your family.
Yeah, and about 40 minutes from now, we'll get more into it. But RIP to one of the greats on and off the field, Roy Halladay. And last night, they had the college football playoff rankings, and there's no smooth transition into it, but that's where we're going to start the show this morning. And you don't have a change, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You do have changes throughout. But as we predicted yesterday, that these rankings aren't about the top four right now. It's about looking into the crystal ball and how the committee is going to handle certain things if they are to happen. And sometimes this is an exercise in futility. It's a bunch of wasted hot air because all it takes is one loss that you had no idea was coming, and then everything is turned upside down and you have to sort through the rubble at that point. But one thing that is emerging to me that I think is going to be the most fascinating part of this is the fact that the committee, if you look at where they are and you look at what Kirby Hokut said last night, the committee looks at Wisconsin as a team that is not on par with these other teams right now and maybe not ever. And I do think that there is a chance that Wisconsin goes undefeated, they win the Big Ten championship, and if things shake out where Alabama and Georgia play undefeated into that championship game, play an epic championship game, if Clemson wins out, if Notre Dame wins out, I think you might have this top four even with Wisconsin being an undefeated champion of a Power 5 conference.
I could see that happening because they're going to look at your total body of work, and up to this point, they have just turned a blind eye to what Wisconsin has accomplished, and I understand why. You look at who they have played, and it's not their fault. That's just how the schedule is set up. And going down the road in the future, they're going to have to make sure they put some more big boys at the top of that schedule, on the non-conference schedule, which they have done in the past. We've seen them open up a season versus LSU a season ago. We've seen them open up a season with Alabama on there, which they did a few years back when they played them in Dallas. So they're not afraid to play those guys. They just didn't have them on the schedule this year. And to compound the problem, no Penn State, no Ohio State from the East on their schedule this year. They do get Michigan, and Michigan sitting there with two losses. Now, if they get to the Big Ten Championship and they beat a two-loss team out of the East, the committee's going to have some problems on their hand. They're probably Wisconsin, while you focus on what you can control, those of us are those fans who don't have to worry about putting the pads on and going out there and playing a tough Iowa team this weekend are thinking, Michigan State, please win out. You know, because they're looking good. They've already knocked off Penn State. And if they can knock off Ohio State, that's a huge feather in Michigan State's cap. And then if Wisconsin can beat them in a Big Ten championship game, maybe they get in. But I think they would have a ton holy hell to pay if you leave out an undefeated Wisconsin out of the Big Ten. I'm telling
Isn't this what the committee's for, though?
Yeah, but
the committee is for situations exactly like this.
They will be
crushed. You know, undefeated, be damned. I don't care who you are. We're looking at the best teams, and I know that they don't stand by the I don't care who you are thing. But this is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
We're trying to find the four best teams in the country to play each other for a national championship. And if we believe that Alabama, who went undefeated, Georgia only lost to the undefeated, and I'm projecting ahead.
Yeah.
Alabama, who only is undefeated, Georgia only lost to the undefeated Alabama. Notre Dame only lost to
Georgia,
who only lost to the undefeated Alabama. And Clemson, who's defending national champion, who has played seven ranked teams and has beat these guys and lost one horrible loss to Syracuse. I mean, we're going to put those four teams in.
And Clemson's going to get in because they've been in the last two, and they played Alabama close 2 years ago, won last year in a close game. So, yeah, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. But you look at the playoff rankings, and it's interesting to me that, you know, Clemson, what they've done thus far, does it look as good now? Louisville has fallen apart. Virginia Tech, the way they looked last week versus Miami being dominated. Now, Clemson, if they meet up with Miami, and I think Miami, Miami having a tough one this week, if they win, it's going to be an epic battle between Miami and Clemson in the championship game. So that can help Clemson. But you look at their body of work to this point, and this is the problem I have with rankings and the prior system, the BCS system, and now this system. I can beat a team early in the season, and we hold them in high regard, and yet they fall apart. Now I have to carry all that with me, all that baggage. Now it's great if they continue to win, and I want to be linked to them. I want to be arm in arm because I defeated them. But if they have this precipitous fall, I don't have anything to do with that. But that's the conundrum that teams have. Florida State and
that's
Alabama.
That's the perfect example right there is Florida State and Alabama. So here you have the committee and Kirby Hokut saying last night on television that the difference between Alabama and Georgia and why Georgia is one and Alabama is two is because of that win at Notre Dame. So they have basically dismissed that victory that Alabama had at Florida State. Florida State was ranked third at that point. Florida State had a healthy, unbelievably talented quarterback at most of that game. I mean, this was a team that was poised and a defense, by the way, in that game that was remarkable as well. So how do you evaluate that? You're going to tell me that Florida State team that everybody believed was one of the top three teams in the country in that particular game, that is not a win that carries any weight whatsoever in the committee's eyes?
Yes. That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. And I actually had Oklahoma in my top four and Notre Dame right there at number five. Notre Dame, they were up 41-16 with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter versus Wake Forest. And then they put all these other guys in and basically took their foot off the gas pedal. And Wake Forest had three long scoring drives, made it tighter and closer than it actually was. But Oklahoma going on the road, knocking off a top-ranked team or a top 10 or just outside the top 10. I think they were at 11, Oklahoma State. And not a lot of defense. Well, they were playing defense. They just weren't successful. But a lot of scoring in that ball game. But for OU to go on the road and beat another ranked team like they did Ohio State in their backyard, I felt like that would catapult them into the top four. The committee didn't see it that way. Everyone's focused on how they play defense. And to all my SEC folks out there who keep saying they don't play defense in the Big 12, well, that's a bunch of bull dookie. You know, Iowa State's only in six conference games, they've given up 24 points in the second half. Six conference games. TCU. How many points have they allowed the last 2 weeks? 14. And you look at Oklahoma, how many SEC teams stopped them? Last year they put 35 on Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. A couple years ago they put 45 on Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. So stop with all that noise. You got about three teams that really play solid defense in your conference. Other than that, you have nothing.
Yeah, I think that keeping an eye on that is going to be fascinating. If that ends up being a tiebreaker, well, they don't play defense. I mean, is that supposed to be?
Well, can you outscore them?
I mean, honestly, it's like, is it the point to win the games?
What scores have we had in the last two championship games?
Right.
They've been in the 30s or 40s.
Exactly, and think about it, too. If you're going to tell me that you're going to rank a team ahead of Oklahoma because that defense is better than Oklahoma's, then how are you looking at the offenses? Because there's not an offense right now that's going to be better than Oklahoma's offense. So they win that tiebreaker every time.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that they're going to lose the tiebreaker every time on defense? Well, you're putting more stock in that than you are the offense? I mean, this is going to be as complicated a task that this committee, I think, has had. If you go through all of the potentials, now maybe it becomes clear, and we're sitting here, we'll go back and we will we'll listen to this open and laugh at ourselves talking about how complicated this was because something could happen and becomes clear.
It will happen this weekend.
Right.
It will happen this weekend. You got a number of ranked opponents. Of course, Notre Dame is at Miami. So there you go with number 3 versus number 7. TCU is at Oklahoma. So 6 is at 5. You will have some clarity this weekend. There will be more upsets. You have number 1 Georgia at number 10 Auburn. And so we're going to have a lot more clarity about this thing moving ahead. What could get complicated, you look at the Pac-12 now. SC is back in the driver's seat as far as the Pac-12 South, and they'll probably eventually meet Washington. Washington goes to Stanford. Stanford's a one-trick pony, can only run the ball. And last week, Bryce Love was held in check 63 yards versus Washington State. So we'll see how that plays out. But Washington's playing well right now after the misstep at Arizona State. So there's a lot of football left. And this thing will eventually play itself out.
Yeah, and I do think, though, that a couple of things you're not going to see. I don't think you're ever going to see a two-loss team in the college
football. Well, that's what Bill Hancock said to us. You were moonlighting elsewhere, and we had him on, and he said that. Now, he said that about the Big 12. It'd be interesting, going back to your Big 10 conversation, you're not holding the Big 12 in high regard, even though they're having a championship game, which I think is idiotic. You only have 10 teams. And so what if you have a two-loss Ohio State that wins the Big 10? You're telling me you're going to keep Ohio State out of this playoff? Really? That's going to be difficult to do and difficult to rationalize.
Yeah, but I mean, this is how I'll rationalize it. That loss that Ohio State had against Iowa is going to probably be the worst loss that you see out of any one of these teams. Now, you want to tell me, you know, Syracuse beating Clemson, but
they'll factor in that you had a banged-up quarterback.
Right.
They will do that. And Iowa State knocking off Oklahoma in Oklahoma State's in Oklahoma's backyard. They'll point to that. But Iowa State is not Iowa State of yesteryear.
Beat down, though, man. You're going to put a team who got beat down like that in the playoff when you've got all these other, well, we would assume, other options that would have better resumes?
Well, Ohio State faithful have to hope that Iowa will continue to win.
Yeah.
That's the only hope they have.
Beat Wisconsin. That'd be a
definitely
big one.
Definitely beat Wisconsin and continue to win all their ball games. So that helps Ohio State, even though that was a domination.
Yeah, and well, do you think Wisconsin's got enough opportunities here, though? Because they've got Iowa, who now people are looking at differently after that Ohio State win.
And they have Michigan.
They've got Michigan, and they've got the opportunity in the championship game, you would imagine.
Yes.
So,
I think they do.
Is that enough? That's enough?
I think that would be enough.
That's enough of a resume boost to them.
Yeah, if they can knock off Iowa, just beat the Ohio State, who had one loss at that point, and if they can beat Michigan, if Michigan's still sitting there with two losses, that helps. And then if Michigan can go on to beat Ohio State in their final game, that would help Wisconsin. And then, of course, you get a huge assist if you win the conference championship game. And that would probably – it's going to be either Michigan State or it's going to be Ohio State.
I'm going to buy some Wisconsin apparel today. I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Big W.
Yeah, I don't look good in red, so maybe I can get something that's like
I'm wearing Wisconsin stuff
white
today.
And just like the logo in red. Like maybe I'll do that.
But I think it's going to be difficult. This is going to be old man football on old man football this weekend there in Madison. That's going to be a crazy,
it's your type of game, right?
It's going to be fun because what Iowa did to Ohio State, they just hit them in the mouth.
Yeah.
They punched them in the mouth. And, yeah, it was tied 17-17, and then they just they mashed on the gas pedal and just left them in the dust. It helps when you have 4 interceptions. But they were so much more physical, had an excellent offensive game plan. How about this stat? They had 9 receptions to their tight ends. Those 9 receptions either went for a first down or a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah Fant and I think it's A.J. Hockenson, they were just tremendous in this ball game, and running for 243 and passing for 240. So much balance in that ball game. So, I would give Iowa the edge because you look at Alex Hornibrook there, Wisconsin, 6 straight games he's thrown at least 1 pick. And he has 9 on the season. And I just don't think he can win the ball game for you if you are able to stop Jonathan Taylor. And this guy has been outstanding, the freshman.
Do I text Paul Christ asking for swag? Is that too much of a overstepping of our relationship?
No. Dog, I need some swag. I want to sing the praises and get out and promote Wisconsin. You got to get in the dance, man, at the end of the season.
Yeah, so I should sell the fact, like, listen, I'm on a national radio show. Mm-hmm. I work with a guy who is a college football analyst in Brian Jones, who's on national television talking about college football. My influence could end up being the difference.
Yes.
If you think about the swaying of the committee, we know Bill Hancock. We are friends with him.
Yep.
So send me a T-shirt to wear, and it might just end up being the thing that gets you in the college football playoff.
There you go. I'm often on TV, radio, WFAN. Come on. Right. I got to help
get you
over the finish line.
Because who wants to pay for anything these days, you know?
Why not? Yeah. And when you got money, you don't have to pay for stuff. You get it for free. When you're broke, can't get a damn thing.
Isn't that amazing?
That's how America works.
I know.
No money? No. Don't come around here. You got money? What you need?
I actually, someone gave me some free cookies today. I left out in the newsroom that people probably
already ate. Man, why are you
mentioning that? No, I got to take them home to my wife.
What type of cookie? What brand?
It's a healthy brand, though.
Okay.
I'm taking it home to a wife.
I understand that, but I still would like to know for
give this
future
to your
references.
I'll go get it if someone didn't eat it already. I could see that Ike Feldman in there, like little rat hands eating it.
Man, he could eat whatever. He doesn't gain a pound.
Yeah, but
he doesn't gain an inch. Little skinny bastard.
No.
Hey, we got a guy at TV like that, Mike Letito. I mean, just paper.
Friggin' Letito.
Letito, thin as his paper.
Every time.
Eats everything.
All right. 855-212-4CBS. What do you think of the rankings? What do you think will happen? 855-212-4227. Lines are open. We'll take some of your college football calls next. Talk to Andrew Bogish. And a laptop between two guys that we've had on this show is causing major, major consternation. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Not every day with Pete.
Okay, 6 days a week.
It's not every day. I'm going to defend Pete here. It's not every day.
Yeah, we can't speak for Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, 4 days a week.
No, not even that. Not even that. I think that Pete he's up and down, and today is a day that he's down. I mean, that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I also think I'm slowly getting adjusted to the day. Because Wednesday is usually my quick turnaround.
Really? Quick turnaround?
Oh, here we go. Oh. You can't use that.
This
guy
sounded like an excuse.
Right, it kind of does.
Yeah.
You know, this guy over here, you want to talk about quick turnaround.
Yeah, see me Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a quick turnaround, you know? So you're slowly, your excuse is that, so by like an hour from now,
you think
the day would have washed over you enough.
Oh, yeah.
That your mood will have changed.
You'll see. Yeah, you'll see.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, good.
You'll still be frowning.
Well, that's the thing, too. It is a relative term. In an hour, he'll be better, but he'll still be Petey Meats.
Hashtag Petey Meats. No, he'll be fine. I'm looking forward to 7:25 Eastern time. Petey Meats, turning it around. You're rolling your eyes here. You don't think it's going
to
happen.
No, I have nothing like a Will Brinton interview to cheer up people
on. That leads us to
7:40.
Letting you know that Will Brinton will be joining us at 7:25 Eastern time. And Christian Fourier, 8:40 Eastern time, talk some football with those guys. Your calls at 855-212-4CBS. Lines are open to talk some college football playoff on the show. But first, Andrew Bogish is here with an update. What's going on, Bogish?
Guys, your update's brought to you by Cremo Shaving Cream. Beards have needs. Cremo Beard Products care for your beard no matter the length. Try Cremo Beard Products, available at Walmart and Target. Last night in Cleveland, 40 points from
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Every time I go in the folder, there's a new one. I don't remember that, but there's Mikey B as Michelle B, I guess, doing Giannis. 32 from Kevin Love. 30 from LeBron, but the most important points of the night came from J.R. Smith.
Crowder para LeBron. A la izquierda para el gatillero. De tres en camino. ¡Pah! El gatillero J.R. Smith se coloca solo en la posición número 14 de máximos anotadores de larga distancia, ahora con 1,788 en su carrera, dejando atrás a Rashad Lewis, J.R. Smith.
I believe that's the season debut for Rafael Alcalde here on Gio and Jones. With that third quarter three, for those of you who don't speak Spanish, JR passed Rashard Lewis for 14th on the all-time list. He scored a season-high 20 on five threes, pleasing Mr. James.
Something that we've relied on over the last 2.5 years, you know. So, you know, to you know have him have a breakout game tonight, especially the way we've been struggling at home. It was right on time.
And apparently Smith was wearing LeBron model sneakers for the first time last night. So
cute.
LeBron taking credit for the big game as well. 124-119, the final count over Milwaukee. OKC losing in Sacramento, 94-86. The Sixers, a 104-97 win in Utah. Their first victory there since 2005. The Spurs down the Clippers, 120-107. The Raptors beat the Bulls, 119-114. And New Orleans rallied for a 117-112 win in Indy. 69 points and 27 rebounds from Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. LiAngelo Ball and his two UCLA basketball teammates reportedly free on bail in China this morning. Who knew they had bail there after yesterday's arrest for alleged shoplifting?
Locked up abroad.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball.
I used to love that show.
I did too.
Oh, what a great show, because it used to really freak me out and give me anxiety.
Yep, I'm with you.
What type of idiots would do that stuff? Like, they'd shove, like, a pound of weed up their butt and try to go through customs
in Thailand. Indonesia.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, the airport at Kuala Lumpur. They're like, what are you doing? And then, like, everything, you know, even though I knew they were going to get caught, I was still, like, rooting for them. And
right.
Like, oh, come on, get by. And then, you know, they'd be the one guy with the big gun, and you'd be looking over, you know, inquisitively at the
person. What you looking at? Nothing over here.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're in the, you know, the jail, and then everything's happening there, and it's survival, and oh, God. Anyway,
so Lonzo Ball apparently being smart for a change, he has canceled a morning press conference on advice of counsel. He did say it's tough for the Ball family to be involved
LeVar
in this.
LeVar or Lonzo?
Oh, LeVar, excuse me. Yeah, LeVar. Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, because mom and dad and the other, and the youngest one are there. But
he's going to say something so stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I know that this, he just canceled the press conference. He is
for now.
Yeah, right. He is going to say something so
stupid. He's
going to
say it in Mandarin, too.
Yeah, insensitive and stupid that this is not going to end well.
He's going to be like in full garb, like some kind of robe, and come out like do a bow.
Like a shogun. Yeah. Yeah.
The dress is like a geisha. Oh, man. Like, I mean, we have this scheduled for later in the show, but now I kind of want to talk about it now because it's just, I mean, I can't imagine that there's going to be anybody who's going to have pull in this country, being serious, right? Like, have enough pull to get these kids out of this thing.
Right.
Right? Like, think about it. It's China, right? China. This is not like one of these countries where you call them up and you're like, hey!
Stefan Marbury's there.
It's the
U.S. Hook them up.
It's the U.S., man. You know us? Like, where, you know, you got, I mean, our president has been ripping China now for a long time.
He's over there now.
Yeah, I know he's over there now. But, I mean, I just don't, I feel like this is an opportunity for the Chinese to be like, these guys screwed up. We got them. And now we're going to deal with them the way that we want to. Like, who's going to call? Like, is Mark Emmert of the NCAA going to call up China and be like, oh, excuse me, we'd like our athletes back, our student athletes who represent.
You can keep LiAngelo. Keep up the other two. Yeah. We'll call it even.
We'll pay for the sunglasses. Okay, here you go. And going to it's Louis Vuitton, right? Wasn't it a Louis Vuitton store?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I think Stephon Marbury has to step in and handle this
situation. You think that Marbury's the guy?
Yeah.
You know what? I hadn't thought about it.
And Yao Ming. Come on, Yao Ming. Help him out. Come on.
Yeah, I guess maybe those guys. I don't know. I mean, but still, I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity. Why? Like, what reason would the Chinese just be like, all right, just let them go? Like, we're okay.
They have no reason.
Right, exactly.
We're in debt to them. So
I mean, I think that this could be really bad.
They have they're out on bail, so that's a
but they got to stay in their hotel room until the legal process is taken care of, and they said, in their own words, it could be days, weeks, or months.
Oh. And vacation.
And I think I read yesterday there's like a 99% conviction rate for crimes like this.
Damn.
Like, they're done.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Right. Like, this, we should be spending more time on this. Like, these guys could be in a Chinese jail for, like, years. I mean, it's crazy.
What they did to crime.
I know, but it's, like, insane to think about this.
Can you get a legal red shirt? What's their eligibility issue if they have to have, they're stuck there this entire year?
And you know LeVar's like, I knew it would be LiAngelo. I knew it would be you.
Well, he's not even that good. They, like, took That's him to thing. Be nice to them. And
right.
What's his name? Steve Albert's like, this is what happens
yeah.
when you get in bed with the Ball family. I take the misfit one, and he's in jail before his first game in China.
Yeah, either that or LeVar's saying, listen, if one of them is going to be in a Chinese jail, LiAngelo's the one.
Yeah. I think he can handle it.
Yeah, right. Right, right.
He's the expendable one.
Yeah, right. Like, LaMelo, no. Yeah. Lonzo, no.
Yeah, he's going to be making some strawberries.
Yeah. That's great. All right. We might go back to this later because it's just too good.
Can I get the LiAngelo version?
Yeah, right. Made by LiAngelo in a Chinese jail.
No, not Michelangelo.
Right in the Beijing Bing.
Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Oklahoma still atop the college football playoff rankings. Unbeaten Wisconsin moves up to 8th, and with Iowa and Northwestern. Now, on this list, the Badger resume looks a little bit better. Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver Mike Evans has lost the appeal of his one-game suspension for Sunday's altercation with St. Marshawn Lattimore, so Evans will not play this weekend against the Jets. And Vikings QB Sam Bradford reportedly had surgery yesterday to address loose bodies and cartilage damage in his left knee. Minnesota could put Bradford on IR today, as early as today, when it brings Teddy Bridgewater off the PUP list. Boys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. So let's go to Chris in Alabama, wants to talk some college football playoff rankings. What's up, Chris?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, well, man. What's up?
Good. We're going to have a crazy weekend. I really think Notre Dame can lose that Miami game very easily. And about the two-loss team getting in, I think Auburn, if they win out, they have a great chance of getting in.
Yeah.
If Auburn wins out, I agree they have a great chance of getting in.
I'm just trying to think.
If there's any conference where you can have a two-loss champion, it's the SEC. And so, yes, I would think Auburn gets in because, you look, they would have had to have beaten Georgia.
Right.
And they would have beaten Alabama. Yep. And then they would have to have beaten Georgia again in the SEC title game.
All right, so who would be the one team? The question I would have there, because a two-loss team couldn't be anywhere but four, right, you would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So who's that fifth team, and why is that fifth team's resume not as good, would be my question.
It would either be Pac-12.
Or if Pac-12, then Auburn's got it.
Pac-12 or Big 12, because everyone, for whatever reason, I know the reason, the narrative is they don't play defense, they discount what is accomplished in the Big 12, and I would say that's asinine. They have a ton of parity in that conference this year, at least. And I would say the Pac-12 and the Big 12 would be they would be left out.
Yeah, interesting, Chris. We're going to keep an eye on it. Give us a call next week, and we'll keep dissecting.
Well, like
all
I
this.
Said, a lot of things will become more clear after this weekend because you have more of these top ranked teams taking on other ranked teams. So it's going to be nice and crazy, just the way we like college football heading down the stretch.
And we got big brand names, and yep. I mean, it's just, it really is perfect.
It is perfect. You're right.
You can't draw it up any better than what's happening right now. Ron in Birmingham, Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ron? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope y'all are doing well.
Yes, same to you, man. What do you got for us? Hey,
well, I think the committee's almost painted themselves in a corner with the Wisconsin thing. I know the rest of the country doesn't want to see two SEC teams in there, but maybe it'll shake out over the next couple of weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they have a feeling about, like, we don't want two SEC teams in there. I really hope that they don't have that, because that would go against the spirit of all of this. I mean, the way what they tell us, whether it's true or not, is that they do not look at anything but the resumes of these teams, and they go through it. They go through the schedule, the wins, the losses. They factor in the injuries, how they play, the scores. This is what they factor in. So they should not be looking at, well, this team's in the SEC and that team's in the SEC, and politics are going to tell us that we can't have two of them in there. So I hope that they're not thinking that. Because if you got two SEC teams that deserve to be in there, then hell, they deserve to be in there.
Well, they took a one-loss Ohio State a year ago, right, over the conference champion, a team that beat Ohio State, a team that went on to win the conference in the Big Ten, which was Penn State. And I know they had some crazy losses, lost to Pitt. They were just annihilated by Michigan. But that was a team that had no linebackers to speak of. Now, they were calling people like me and you, see if we could suit up and play linebacker heading into Ann Arbor. And then they got healthy. They knock off Ohio State, and they go on to win the Big Ten championship. And yet they don't even get a sniff from the committee. It was Ohio State, a big box brand, and they get in and they get annihilated by Clemson 31-0. So they can say all they want. And we talked to Bill Hancock about this last week. They can say all they want that, oh, that doesn't matter. Yet you're an iconic brand. You have cachet. Bull dookie. It does matter.
Kevin is in Youngstown, our pal on CBS Sports Radio with the great voice. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, my man.
Good morning.
Mm. Hey, two things real quick. Are you missing the point on the ball episode?
Yeah.
Knowing their father, he's going to turn this into a reality show. He's talking to MTV now. It's going to be called
Locked Up in China.
Yeah, right.
Behind the cue ball or something like that.
Ball behind bars. Yeah, you don't want to.
You were talking about the Browns and the trade mix up with the Bengals?
Yeah.
That was divine intervention. God's been hearing our prayers up here in Cleveland, and he stopped that trade.
Why would he stop it? Well, he would want to help you, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't think A.J. McCarron is good enough to be the Browns' starting quarterback?
We got three A.J. McCarron standing on the sideline now. No, he wasn't going to help us do nothing.
Well, I do think he's a decent player, but the second and a third round pick for him was sort of
too
crazy.
Much. Yeah.
You know, but
he got a nice looking mother.
That's just true.
Nice what?
Oh, he's a nice looking mom.
His mom.
Oh,
you know AJ
yeah.
McCarron's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You don't know her?
I don't know her. The wife now.
Mm. Yeah.
As Brent Musburger, he'll tell you.
Well, he was talking about the wife or the girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, but the mom, mom was standing right next to Catherine Webb.
Oh, really?
Time.
I don't recall her. I was focused on.
She's nice looking.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool.
Any other sports moms out there, Kevin, you want to shout out while you're.
No.
Okay, all right. Just
I tell you what, one thing y'all can do for me, man.
Okay.
Have a good holiday.
Oh, you too, man. You're not going to call until then?
We're going to talk to you in, what, 3 weeks? Is that what you're saying?
It's going
to
be 2 weeks.
Oh, is it 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Well, you know, depends on what happens. How this ball episode go?
All right, Kevin. Have a good holiday, too, if we don't talk to you. It's Kevin in Youngstown.
Yeah, I need to order my fried turkey, man.
Yeah, I can't believe it's 2 weeks, huh?
Wow.
Jeez.
Is that so?
How is it? Every year, I probably say this too much on the air, but that Einstein theory of the older you get, the faster time goes. Because everything is shorter to you relative to your lifespan is one of the truer things of all time.
Yeah.
Because every single year, years go by faster. And it's scary. And in that same vein, a tragic episode yesterday let you know why you never know what's going to happen. We're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's so unbelievably sad. We find out yesterday that Roy Halladay, the future Hall of Fame pitcher, died in a plane crash, his own personal amphibious plane that I had never heard of and never seen. Now, not a lot of people had, but me personally, I grew up in a family. My father has flown small planes, like recreational planes. He's not a commercial airline pilot. He's not a private jet pilot or anything along those lines, although he could. But he basically he's had private little small planes his entire life. Currently, he owns a two-seater, what's called a Legend Cub, where it's just basically where he goes up in the air and he enjoys his time up in the air, looks at the water and looks at everything else. And so when I hear about these things, I'm like, you know, I look into it and I try to find out what it was. And I was like floored by this aircraft. I had never seen it before. And then I went into, you know, Roy Halladay's Twitter account, as many people did yesterday, and found out that he just got this thing in October. He was thrilled to have it. He was flying it all the time. He was taking up kids from his little league team in there, and he was posting videos of it. And he could land it in the water, and you could take off. You could put on a trailer and then have it take off from the water. They did unbelievable things. But I think what this boils down to is, in many of these things, because, and I haven't talked to my dad about it yet, and I, you know, I probably will soon, but what it comes down to is inexperience. And, you know, people talk about the dangers of flying, and I would never go up in a small plane, and all these things. It's about who is flying that plane and the decisions that they're making. And what it seemed to me was Roy Halladay had a lot of passion and not a lot of experience, and got caught in a situation that he wasn't able to handle, and unfortunately it led to his tragic death. And this is one of these things that, like, hits me harder than the Jose Fernandez one, because he was drunk and making really bad decisions and high too. And Roy Halladay was doing something that he loved, and as far as we knew, he was not doing it intoxicated. And he just was caught in a bad spot with some inexperience. It was a passion of his. He wasn't messing around. He wasn't putting other people at risk messing around. And, like, it just is so heartbreaking when you look at his kids, his wife, and the whole situation.
Yeah, and similar to your situation, he grew up around planes. His father, I believe, was a private pilot. And so he's been enamored with aviation for a long, long time. And once he retired, that became his passion, his go-to to get away and clear his mind, much like you just described your father's passion for flying and getting away from the day-to-day things we have to deal with. So, it's tragic, and everyone in our research department, they were relaying this yesterday over on the TV side, and we were all sitting there dumbfounded about what was going on, because news was just coming out in bits and pieces. And finally, you come to the realization after you get the confirmation that it was Roy Halladay that was piloting the plane. And so, yeah, very sad day, a guy doing something he loved. And hopefully we'll get more information about what transpired. But just a tragic situation.
And my dad just texted me. He said that these planes, these Icon planes, they actually have in them those black box data recorder things, which is not common to small private aircraft. So they will know exactly, you know, what happened.
The last I heard, that there was no SOS signal or anything. And so hopefully that can shed some more light on it.
Yeah, and I know it's an odd thing with an amphibious plane like that, too, because, I mean, not to speak out of turn with this, but I know that, you know, landing something like that, I mean, in the water, you know, if you're, like, at the wrong speed and, like, you're not level, like, that would do
that's
it.
That's concrete. You hit the water at a certain rate of speed, that's like hitting the pavement.
Yeah, and it's just, and the thing about it, like watching the Twitter videos, and then there was a video that was out there that was probably, this was the thing that sent me over the edge, and I was like, I can't look at this stuff anymore because I'm now getting too upset about it. Which is probably not the right way to go about things, but it was the video of him picking up the airplane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Icon people who made the airplane did a video of the delivery of when he, you know, he got the airplane, and he's, you know, he's looking around, he's looking at it, and he's smiling, and he's there with his wife, and Roy Halladay grew up around planes, and his wife goes, you know, I didn't grow up around planes like Roy did. It took me a really, really long time to get on board with this. And then when I got in the plane, I understood why I loved it so much. And she's like, I don't tell him that. And then to know that she was opposed to this, and then what happened, it's like, oh, it makes it even worse. But it also, you know, reminds me, too, because everybody makes things personal. I'm not making it about me at all. I'm just saying that, you know, personally, knowing how, you know, aviators, how much they love to do that.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, like, you know, getting on the water in the boat, and when you, like, you get it, and it's like, it's just a whole new world that you never experienced in your life before. And here's
that's just Shangri-La,
right? And here's Roy Halladay turning the page in his life, And some people can't find something that they love as much as what they were doing.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yep.
At life after baseball.
He found that peace.
He found it. And then to die doing it, it's like, I mean, it just doesn't get any worse. It doesn't get any worse than that. So, and his career, man, like, you know, just, you know what's funny about, like, great players like that? Is you forget about how good they were, and then, unfortunately, you know, highlights of him yesterday were being played because of this. But you see, you watch the, some of these videos, and you watch him pitch, and you're like, oh, my goodness. Like, you, like that was incredible.
Doc Holliday was, I said at the beginning of the program, but you just knew you were going to chalk up a loss. That dude was so tough. So difficult to hit against, and I heard Mark Teixeira discuss when he first came over to the Yankees, and he and I think he said Johnny Damon went back to back on Holliday, and they get in, and he gets into the dugout, and everyone's acting as if they just won the World Series. Said, why are you guys so excited? You know how tough it is to hit off that cat. Yeah, I mean, it was just
first postseason game he pitched was a no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, he was so strong.
And he wasn't one of these guys like a Zach Greinke that you hear is like a real curmudgeon. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody loved the guy, and everybody had a story about him. And then he gave a working dog to the sheriff's department in his county, and they called it the canine doc. Like, he donated, like, he went out and gave them. So the dog was named after him. He used to work with the police department in his town. Like, I mean, he was with the Little League team. It was the last picture he posted was him. They won the championship. It just, life is not supposed to happen like that. You know, it's just not, things like that should not happen. And they do. And it's impossible to deal with. From our standpoint, to try to reconcile these things, and then to think about his family and the people that loved it—like, I mean, you don't get over it. You don't. So, anyway, very, very sad stuff. And his legacy on the baseball field, and how many people he made happy—that will live on forever. Coming up next, a couple of teams that are big messes in the NFL. We talked about a few yesterday. We left one out that could be the biggest mess in all of the league. Coming right back, Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.